Right, so we are currently just outside the outskirts of Bath at a recording studio, and I'm with James Warren and Andy Davis, who were and now are again members of Stackridge. Now, the reason we're here is because Stackridge is famous for one reason more than any other, and that is because back in 1970, when Glastonbury Festival was inaugurated, it started with them. They played the first note of the first Glastonbury Festival in the world, and by doing so inaugurated what was going to turn into the biggest music festival in the world of its kind. So you guys split up in 1976, you've just got back together this year, and you're playing Glastonbury again. What does that feel like?
Exceedingly weird and incredible. 4 years ago, 14 years ago, 24 years ago, if you'd said to me, in 2008, you'll be playing at Glastonbury again in Stackridge, I would have said, you must be joking. You must really be joking. So, incredible is the word that comes to mind.
Yes, it's very nice to be going back. And I always wanted Stackridge to go back and sort of finish what they started. I think we're going to start the set with the same numbers we started the first one. We only played four numbers, I think, in an hour on the first occasion. Because in those days, you know, one had a solo in every song, the longer the better.
The very first Glastonbury Festival, which cost £1 to get in, free milk included in that price, and it was a very, very small-scale affair. How did that come about?
Well, we would have played anywhere, frankly. That year, people would frequently say things like, oh, there's a festival in a field in Sussex. There's no money, but let's go and play. So we just got in the van and went along and talked our way under the bill. This one was slightly more organised, but not much, because it was fairly chaotic. You know, just one day somebody said, there's a festival in Pilton. Where's that? Oh, it's just down the road. Let's go down and play. So we went.
Do either of you have clear memories of the day and of that famous first song?
I just remember the weather was nice. There were a lot of sort of strange people standing around. There were one or two policemen being very friendly and trying to make out they did that sort of thing every day, you know. They had a sort of an atmosphere about them, those sort of festivals, because it was very underground in those days, you know. It wasn't pop music on TV adverts. It wasn't sort of all over the media. It was very much an underground scene, so we felt a bit special to be there, you know. It was chaos, because half the people that were supposed to turn up didn't, and some people who weren't billed turned up. There was no stage management as such, and somebody said, do you want to go on first? I said, yeah, all right. So we went on first.
So I'm here with Mike Tobin, who is Stackridge's manager and was their manager back in 1969-70 when they started off. Mike, you more than anyone else I've spoken to here today remember that day in Glastonbury.
Yes.
Tell me first of all what your memories are.
Michael Evers paid me the princely sum of £25 to go down and try and sort things out, which I did.
And you were kind of there helping run the festival in some ways in terms of the stage side of things, but Glastonbury's become famous, or at least was until they put up this huge steel fence for gate crashers, and you came across some gate crashers yourself.
I did. I'd wandered away. I was taking a break, and I wandered across the field, and suddenly through the hedge, six burly farm workers clutching great big flagons of cider came storming through the hedge. And I said, stop, stop, you can't do that, it's not fair. And they said, what are you going to do about it, mate? And I decided I wasn't going to do anything about it, and I left them to it.
That's in true Glastonbury fashion, really.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing which is quite interesting, the guys are coming back now, but we should probably say this quite quietly because they're coming back. The reason they opened Glastonbury Festival, you say, wasn't necessarily because they were viewed as superior to Mike Bolan or the Kinks or anyone else who at one stage were going to play.
Yes.
But just because they happened to turn up earlier than anyone else.
I managed the band. They were a local band, and they were on hand to play whenever was required. And because lots of other people hadn't turned up, so they went on. And that was how it worked out for the rest of the weekend, really. It wasn't demeaning. In fact, it was jolly good. But it was in the era where it seemed like a nice thing to go to, so we might as well go along and take our guitars anyway.
So it's a message for any band starting up. Turn up early, bring all of your instruments, make sure you're there and waiting, and if anyone drops out, this is your moment.
You might have to fight your way through the hedge.
Yeah.
The musical climate down here was very much sort of art rock. There were bands like Marsupilami and Principal Edwards and Magic Theatre that had more people on stage that were strictly required. Some in sort of flowing robes that waved their arms around a lot, you know.
Probably the peak for the band, and for me certainly, was in 1973 when we did an album with George Martin. Mike Tobin, the band, Stack Ridge's manager, at that time had just started working for George Martin's management company. And one day he passed on to George some demos we'd just been doing and said, George, you know, these boys really need to have a great album now, and for that they must have a producer on board. Would you possibly consider, you know, having a listen at least? And he listened to the demos and, to our complete astonishment, came back and said, yeah, I'd like to produce this. So before we knew it, we were going to his house in Paddington, rehearsing songs and then recording at Air Studios, and just fantastic time. He was, as you would picture him, the perfect sort of English gentleman.
It's absolutely gorgeous out here, but now we're going to go back into the music studio and try to recreate that moment in 1970, September the 19th, 1970, the morning after Jimi Hendrix died, and you guys were on a field in Somerset, and you opened Glastonbury with the song Tea Time.
Tea Time was one of those songs written from that most early period in the group's history, and a very pastoral-sounding little piece, very English. Like the songs we used to do in those days, it went on for about 9 minutes, I think, on stage with various different sections and solos. But essentially, it was sort of what you'd call pastoral rock, I suppose.
Goodbye, the mill has stopped turning. The miller has changed to a tone. Goodbye, the journey was topping. I really don't think I'll be stopping. I think I'll go home and have tea. Stopping. I think I'll go home.